2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good afternoon. KSL News Time is 12 o'clock noon. And today is Thursday, March 12th. This is Utah's Noon News. I'm Maria Shaleo. Sunny skies in downtown Salt Lake City and 53 degrees.
A crash blocking traffic on Highway 189, Provo Canyon. I'm Ricky Meese.
KSL's top story this hour.
The coronavirus. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Any minute now, we will be bringing you a live news conference from the state capitol where the governor is going to outline recommendations for public schools around the state as they work to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson is there on the scene and he joins us live. Paul?
Well, Maria, we are in the room right now as we're waiting for the governor to approach the podium. He is not here just yet, but we do have a lot of officials who are also going to be talking about the recommendations that came down from members of the Office of Education, people who are in charge of public and higher education, trying to figure out how to best prevent the spread of coronavirus. Now, as you mentioned, we are expecting the governor to speak, but also the lieutenant governor is expected to speak as well as officials from the Office of Education. And President, University of Utah President Ruth Watkins, she is on hand as well to speak to us, along with the Department of Health State Epidemiologist Angela Dunn, and also Steve Starks, the Utah Jazz CEO, will be addressing us as well. So we are expecting this to start very quickly, and as soon as that happens, we will bring that to you live on KSL News Radio. Reporting live, Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
In the meantime, multiple schools have already canceled classes or moved them online. We begin our coverage with KSL News Radio's John Wojcik at the Murray District. John?
Yeah, Maria, it's a pretty surreal scene here in Murray as we're expecting students to start filing out of the high school any minute after the entire district has decided to shut down classes until further notice. It comes after they became aware of potential direct contact exposure to COVID-19. In a press release, the district spokesman said they decided to cancel classes at all 10 schools, quote, out of an abundance of caution. School buses still doing their normal schedule today. Parents do have the okay to pick up their kids early, though. According to the district, the students and teachers surrounding the potential direct contact have not exhibited signs or symptoms associated with the virus. In addition to classes, all extracurricular activities have also been canceled. That means no high school sports. The district adds that they're continuing to work on a learning from home program that they can extend to students in the near future. Live, John Wojcik, KSL News Radio.
Westminster College announced this morning that classes will be postponed until March 23rd. At that point, the classes will resume remotely. The school also says they will make accommodations and help students who live on campus and cannot return home. The St. Patrick's Day Parade in Salt Lake City this weekend has been canceled. The parade's organizers say they hope it can be rescheduled for a later day. The North Davis Fire District says they are suspending participation in any non-essential public events and station tours until the threat posed by COVID-19 and exposure to it has subsided. The fire district says they will continue to respond to any calls, to any and all calls for emergency assistance. Numerous college basketball conferences have canceled the remainder of their basketball tournaments. We learned a short time ago that the remainder of the Pac-12 championship is off. ABC's Ryan Burrow has more.
ACC Commissioner John Swerford taking the mic at Center Court in Greensboro, North Carolina to announce.
The league has made a decision to end this year's Atlantic Coast Conference men's basketball tournament. As of today,
the Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, SEC, and numerous other conference tournaments have also been canceled. As of now, the NCAA tournament is still on. It's set to begin next week to empty stadiums. Ryan Burrow, ABC News.
U.S. Ski and Snowboard is canceling all of its remaining domestic events. Major League Soccer says it will suspend its games for the next 30 days. The NHL has also announced this morning it is suspending its season for now. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints says that they are bringing home all senior missionaries in Europe as well as young missionaries there with serious or chronic medical conditions starting today. After returning home, those missionaries will self-isolate for 14 days. The missionaries will then be considered for reassignment once the coronavirus situation subsides. BYU says all sporting events on campus are now closed to the public. Only players, coaches, and essential staff will be allowed to attend. The BYU Athletic Department says they will provide updates as more information does become available. Politics on KSL News Radio. The White House has canceled its first events due to concerns about coronavirus. ABC's Karen Travers is there with more details.
President Trump was scheduled to travel to Nevada and Colorado over the next few days, but the White House announced late last night the trip and the events are canceled. Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham said the decision was made, quote, out of an abundance of caution from the coronavirus outbreak. This is the first time the president has canceled events explicitly because of COVID-19. The Trump campaign also announced on Twitter last night it's postponing next week's Catholics for Trump event in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that was set to feature the president. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
And we do have some breaking news on KSL News Radio. Kira Hoffelmeyer has joined me live in studio. And Kira, what's happening?
Maria, we're learning that City Creek Shopping Center is closing today, effective immediately, because they learned that a shopper who has coronavirus was in the center 2 days ago on March 10th. So they're closing the areas so that they can be fully cleaned. And they anticipate that they will reopen for business tomorrow. But today, City Creek is closed.
All right. Thank you very much, Kira. We'll continue to keep you up to date on that situation. And coming up on KSL News Radio, we have more from the president on what we can expect going forward because of the coronavirus. And a look at your noontime drive.
All traffic temporarily stops southbound Highway 189 Provo Canyon near Canyon Glen Park due to a crash. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
And we are still standing by to hear from the governor, his news conference, talking about the state's response to coronavirus coming up any moment here on KSL News Radio. KSL News Time, 12:06.
Get hourly updates on U.S. markets and your savings.
The wild ride may not be over.
It's called Washing Utah's Money. Listen at 25 and 55 after the hour, mornings and afternoons. To KSL News Radio, Utah's news station.
Okay, it is spring. It's time for the spring cleaning. It's just part of the deal of being human. And we look at two projects. One is our home in Salt Lake City. The other is our home in Eureka. Now, in fairness to the great folks at Zero Res, we have wood floors in Eureka, but we have a lot of area rugs. I have actually brought them back to Salt Lake City. And then when we have them clean our home here, they clean the area rugs from Eureka. It's incredible what they do, the work they do, and the care they put into each and every job. I've mentioned this story before, but once we brought an old Oriental rug home, I had no idea after Zero Res had cleaned it, how many colors and how vibrant it really was. I love what Zero Res has done for our family. And right now, they're going to make your spring cleaning so much easier. Only $33 per room to get your carpets cleaned. And when you clean three rooms, Zero Res is going to throw in the fourth room for free. So call now, 801-288-ZERO, or search online, Zero Res Carpet Clean.
Alpine Home Medical, we bring wellness home.
I'm here with Jay Broadbent from Alpine Home Medical. Jay, I hear your ads for CPAP resupply all the time. What do I need to do to just get that taken care of?
I can't tell you how many times I've heard this. It's really simple. We can set up your CPAP resupply program within a few minutes. We'll work out the insurance for you, and then we'll start mailing the supplies straight to your door.
So you set it up, you work out the insurance, and then you send this stuff to my door. That sounds pretty easy.
You're right, it is. We could set you up today and have you sleeping better in no time. You can even chat with a CPAP specialist online.
So you help me set up the account, you deal with the insurance company, and you send me my CPAP supplies. It is easy.
It is. Just visit us at alpinehomemedical.com. That's alpinehomemedical.com.
Thank you for joining us for Utah's Noon News. Any minute now, we're going to take you live to the state capitol, where the governor is standing by with a variety of state officials to talk about the state's response to the coronavirus. We're going to bring that to you live here on KSL News Radio. President Trump spoke to reporters from the White House this morning, again focusing on the spread of the virus. Here is a portion of his comments.
This is a big world problem. We've taken some bold steps. We took the original boldest step of all when we closed very early with China. That helped us save thousands of lives. And we went very early with Europe. And I think that'll likewise be very good. And hopefully we can get it back together very quickly in terms of reestablishing with China. That's on track to something happen fairly quickly because they've made a lot of progress over the last 3 or 4 weeks. And certainly with Europe, we think we can go hopefully very quickly. They have some hot spots that are really bad, but they'll get them better. Germany, I guess, has some problems now. France has some problems, some pretty big problems. And Italy, of course, is...
And breaking news on KSL News Radio, live to the state capitol, where state officials are holding a news conference this hour to talk about their response to the coronavirus. They are all standing at the podium, and we are just waiting for them to begin here on KSL News Radio. And right now, it looks like the lieutenant governor,
ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Is going to address
us. We appreciate all of you taking time to be here, and we especially appreciate our media partners who are here helping to deliver very important messages to the citizens of the state of Utah. As you all know, there have been recent developments regarding the COVID-19 virus, the coronavirus and COVID-19 disease here in Utah. Research has shown in other countries and across the world that preemptive public health measures are more effective than reactive health measures. Being proactive will not only help protect our own health, but also the health and safety of our neighbors, family, and friends, and those who are most vulnerable to this disease. That is why we are here today, to announce additional preemptive measures. We are confident that if Utahns heed these announcements, we will fare far better together. This is a very serious time for our state. We have many, many dignitaries that are here with us and people who are helping us on this issue. Let me just give you a run of show. First of all, we will hear from Governor Herbert. I will follow Governor Herbert with a little background on the decision-making process. As you know, the governor has asked me to lead the state's response to the coronavirus. We have an incredible task force that was supposed to meet once a week. And in the week that we've been together, I think we've had 5 meetings now. So that's the rate at which things are moving and changing. Following the governor, we will then hear from Dr. Angela Dunn, the state epidemiologist. She'll be followed by Harris Simmons, the chair of the Utah Board of Regents. Following the chair of the Regents, we will hear from both President Ruth Watkins, the president of the University of Utah, and President Noel Cockett, the president of Utah State University. We will then hear from Dave Wolstenhume, the commissioner of the Utah System of Higher Education, and he will be followed by Superintendent Sidney Dixon of the Utah State Board of Education. Following Superintendent Dixon, I will address you again, and then we have representatives from the Utah Jazz here to address the positive test that we received last night, and we'll go into that second portion following that run of show. So right now, I'm pleased to introduce the governor of the great state of Utah, Gary Herbert.
Well, thank you, Spencer, and welcome, everybody. We're honored to have you here, and thanks to the press again to help us with messaging and getting out to the people of Utah the current situation, what we're planning on doing. I think everybody understands that things have changed in the last 24 hours in a significant way. We've had major religious organizations change their conferencing and their schedules for what they're doing with their conference gatherings. We've had the positive diagnosis of 2 of our Utah Jazz players and the cancellation of many sporting events around the country, or the restructuring of that event. Many civic events, in fact, have been either canceled or restructured because of this heightened awareness and concern about the coronavirus or COVID-19. We have taken action. We've been talking about this for some time now. We take this seriously and have done for the last couple of weeks, to the extent, as you've heard from Spencer, we started a task force. That task force designed to take a look at what's taking place around the country and around the world, and what we needed to be able to do here in the state of Utah to mitigate the spread of the coronavirus here in our state, to protect the people's health and to help us, in fact, get through and weather this significant pandemic storm. This task force has had a depth and breadth of expertise and experience, which is designed to, in fact, help us have direction and a pathway forward of what we should be doing as a state. As has been mentioned, they've met often. 5 times in the past week, including earlier this morning, where we had a gathering today and talked about the need to have constant communication and information that's accurate to give to the people of Utah. These recommendations, if followed, we believe will help not only to mitigate the spread of this virus in our state, but to keep Utahns safe and healthy. The processes that we have in place and we're going to announce today are solid. We have the right people here making these decisions. This is being done based on good science and what we've learned from the experience of other countries and other parts of the world heretofore. We are concerned about testing. We've done some significant testing of individuals who are most at risk with the virus. And while the testing right now is not as many people as we'd like, we do have a sampling. The good news is with the sampling so far is that very few of those that we've sampled have come back positive. So, again, we'll have a direction from Dr. Dunn on that here later on about what that means. We've also been testing people who have been in close contact with other people who, in fact, have tested positive for the coronavirus. And so far, we're not seeing community spread of the virus. So, again, that's good news. But we do know, based on the evidence we see here, is that the spread is going to occur, and so we are taking significant action here to amplify what we've already been doing. Today we stop making decisions based on just the hope that things will get better. We're basing it on the assumption that things possibly could get worse and the spread could continue. So we want to be not sitting on the sidelines. It's better to be too early than it is to be too late. So we're taking a very proactive position here in the state of Utah to see if we can't get ahead of this issue so we can minimize the spread here in the state of Utah. For the past week, I, along with the task force and Lieutenant Governor and others, have been emphasizing that individuals, families, employers, other organizations should begin taking proactive measures. And this will help us to prevent the spread of COVID-19, and especially to those who are relatively easy, more vulnerable. Which is our senior citizens, those that have respiratory issues, underlying health issues, we can do a lot to protect them from getting the virus. I know that these things that we've talked about, with just hygiene, washing of hands, not touching our mouth, nose, eyes, isolating ourselves when necessary, not going to work when sick, are things that are really mainly easy to do without much disruption. But I'm going to announce, in addition to those common sense things we've talked about, some recommendations that will be effective for the next 2 weeks. Now, let me emphasize that 2 weeks is what we're doing, and then we'll reevaluate where we're at in 2 weeks to see if we want to continue, modify, make a change of direction. That's yet to be determined, but these recommendations will be in place for at least the next 2 weeks and possibly beyond. In conjunction with Utah COVID-19 Task Force and our local departments of health, we recommend the following. We want to limit mass gatherings to groups of 100 for the next 2 weeks, beginning Monday, March 16th. And that is 100 healthy individuals. If people are not healthy, they should not be involved in these gatherings. So if you feel sick, don't show up. If you're home, you should not participate. So limiting mass gatherings to 100 for the next 2 weeks, beginning Monday, March 16th. This includes church gatherings. This includes concerts, conferences, and other similar activities where people gather together. This does not apply to schools right now. We have some issues we're going to be talking about. We're going to ask Superintendent Sid Dixon to talk about the public school issues. We're going to be coordinating our school issues with our local health departments. We would like them to assess situation with our local schools throughout the state. We have 41 different school districts. We have 13 local health departments. And the local experts, we want them to take some time to assess the situation on a case-by-case basis and come up with criteria that we can all understand that would be somewhat uniform across the state. They should go without saying, but if you're sick, you should need to stay home to avoid affecting others. That's a constant call is something we've said before, but we need to reiterate, if you're sick, stay home. And we ask employers to have some tolerance and understanding. It's better for them to lose a couple of days of work than coming and affecting your employees and having, you know, 50 people miss work for a couple of weeks. So if you're sick and you need to stay home, please stay home and avoid infecting others. Everyone over the age of 60 tends to be in a more vulnerable population. And so you should avoid large gatherings of more than 20 people. If you're over 60, avoid large gatherings of more than 20 people. Anyone who has an immunocompromised should avoid large gatherings of more than 20 people also. If you can work from home, we've talked about this, we are actually prepared many ways of this issue of telecommuting, working from home. Now is the time to, in fact, do so. And we'd like you to start doing that immediately. We applaud all the businesses who've taken steps to help their employees work from home, and we encourage more to do so. We have the technology today to make this work and be effective. This is a time for us to try to implement or expand what you're already doing. In addition, I'm asking the local health departments to protect high-risk populations. Again, those senior citizens who are in care centers, those who gather together that maybe have underlying health issues along with being older of age, senior citizens that are requiring long-term care and other care facilities, we'd like the health department to work with them to restrict access and monitor employees and visitors for symptoms of COVID-19. So let's check before they get into those operations, those care centers, and if needs be, restrict their access. Let me just kind of sum up here that I've not come to these decisions and these recommendations lightly. This has come as we've seen this thing evolve over this past week, based good science, based on the information we've observed and seen throughout the world and certainly here in America. Again, we're trying to be proactive and say this is the best policy and the best process for us to go forward with here to mitigate the spread of COVID-19. It's going to have an impact. It certainly has some disruption to our economy. We all know that and understand that. That's a concern for us, too, but the health and welfare of our citizens is the primary concern, and we'll get through this together, and our economy will recover as it needs to do. Also aware that we may have some additional steps we'll need to take as we go forward to help with the economic impact and with the health care and welfare of our people of Utah. I believe these steps, in fact, have consistently slowed the spread of COVID virus here in Utah. I think in other areas where these have been implemented, we've seen that happen. So I believe that the steps we're taking will help us slow the spread of COVID-19 here in the state of Utah. And particularly they're effective if they're implemented early. So some think, are we pulling the trigger too quickly? As I said before, it's better for us to be too early than to be too late. So we're taking some aggressive, proactive steps right now, and I think that it is very timely and necessary for us to get ahead of this. Utahns can take comfort, I believe, that these steps will significantly slow the spread of COVID-19 here in our state. We can have confidence that these steps will, in fact, have a positive impact and help us get through this difficult time. Now let me just add in closing. I know there is high anxiety. People are concerned. There's uncertainty about the future and what to do. We have people that are rushing down to the stores and stocking up. And Utah certainly has a history of preparedness, of being prepared. We have a program in Utah we started a number of years ago called Be Ready Utah, encouraging individuals and families and schools and businesses to be ready. People ask me all the time, be ready for what? Well, fill in the blank. It could be fire, it could be flood, it could be drought, economic downturn. In this case, it's the coronavirus, COVID-19. We need to be prepared and do what we can to be prepared. I hope people will be reasonable and rational. There are areas where we are overreacting. For example, our water supplies are good and abundant. Stockpiling water in your home is probably not a necessary thing unless you're in some kind of a unique circumstance. Turn on the faucet, you're going to get good, clean, potable water. fighting at Costco or Walmart over different issues out there and not being friendly. And the process is something we don't want to see. A run on stores and tempers flaring is not the Utah way. Again, being prepared is important. I understand that. We need to take prudent measures to slow the spread. And this is becoming what I would call a speed bump in the road. To slow it down, to stop it, hopefully, but certainly to slow it down so that we can go about our lives without having minimal disruption of our health care and our health outcomes and certainly our economy. So I think we are doing all that can be done. We, as I mentioned in the very beginning, we are hoping for the best, but we are preparing for the worst. It's going to take all of us working together in a spirit of collaboration, cooperation to do this. Utah has that ability. We will get through this together, and we'll have a positive outcome with minimal disruption, I believe, if, in fact, we work together and follow the recommendations that we're giving here today and others that may come in the future. So with that, we thank you for your attention, and we look forward to working together with all of you, and we'll continue to keep give you updates as we go forward.
And you're listening to a live news conference from the state capitol on KSL News Radio on the state's response to the coronavirus.
Thank you, Governor. Ladies and gentlemen,
Lieutenant Governor Spencer Cox
talking about the why behind and the decision-making that has gone into to those recommendations that are, that the governor just gave. One point of clarification that we've gotten, this does not mean if you have a business that is larger than 100 people that you need to close their doors. That is not what we're saying at all. Again, these are mass gatherings of people coming together, and again, over the next 2 weeks starting Monday. But more importantly, there's a specific reason behind what we're doing. What we know about this virus and what we're learning from other countries and the way that it spreads is that there is an incubation period of 2 to 14 days. We also know that, unfortunately, and this has been very well documented, that getting testing supplies from the federal government has been a slow process. We are increasing testing, and I'll talk about that momentarily. But what we want to do is we want to make sure that we're making the right decisions with the best available information. And because of the latency of this virus, sometimes we don't have the most accurate information because of maybe what is happening out there in the community because of the slowness in the incubation period and the lack of testing that we have had over the past few weeks. The purpose, as the governor mentioned, putting a speed bumper, a circuit breaker, to give us a chance to step back and hopefully slow the spread. What matters in this with this virus and with others pandemics that we've seen in the past, we know that the mortality rate decreases significantly if we get people the best health care possible. The only thing that can prevent us is we have the most advanced health care system in the world and the best in the United States right here in the state of Utah. The only thing that would prevent our citizens from getting world-class health care is if we overwhelm that system. The only way to prevent overwhelming the health care system is to slow down the velocity at which this disease spreads. Now, I want to be very clear on this and remember that for most of us, if we contract this virus, we will be just fine. There will be mild symptoms, just like the cold that you had last week or a mild case of the flu that you've gotten in the past. For most of us, this will just be a little bump in the road. However, what we do know is that for another 15% of us, we'll need attention, and for 5%, likely hospitalization and extraordinary health care measures. If everyone gets this virus in a rapid amount of time, we will fill the hospital beds that are empty. Routinely, hospitals in the United States run at about 80% capacity. So you can see that very quickly we could fill up that 20% capacity, and then it becomes impossible for our amazing health care workers on the front line to deliver the extraordinary care that is necessary, and that's when we see mortality rates start to rise. So I want people to understand that the actions that we take individually, although may not affect us because this disease may not hurt us, it can have a huge impact on those who are vulnerable. And of course, we've mentioned already those over the age of 60, and those who are immunocompromised have a much higher mortality rate with this disease in other countries. Those are the populations we're trying to protect, and you and your families can help protect those populations by implementing the measures that the governor has mentioned already. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about testing, because this is the one area where we get a lot of questions, and we want to make sure that we are giving the best and most up-to-date, accurate answers. So a couple things you need to know about testing. As of 10:40 a.m. today, March 12th, the Utah Public Health Laboratory has tested 136 patients. So that is our state laboratory. We've tested 136 patients. There are an additional 24 individuals whose samples are being tested right now. These data only represent samples being run at our public health lab. There are an additional 18 Utah residents who were tested by the CDC prior to the public health laboratory becoming certified to conduct testing in state. Private laboratories have also started testing samples as well. I'm pleased to report that ARUP at the University of Utah tested 100 individuals yesterday alone. And in the coming days, we'll be able to increase testing significantly up to around 500 individuals. We're also working very closely with IHC. They're in the process of getting their test certified. We hope to have that certification very soon. After that certification comes, they will also be able to ramp up testing into the hundreds. So we are on a good trajectory that will allow us to test far more, will allow us to test more surveillance testing throughout the community to try to detect if there is community spread and to what extent that community spread is happening. Again, the purpose of what we're announcing today is to allow the testing to keep up, to catch up with where we are, so that we're making the right decisions 2 weeks from now as we reevaluate where we are right now. And Dr. Dunn is going to talk to you again about the good news. We do not have, as of yet, any cases of community spread. That is very, very important. Now, admittedly, we wish we were testing more, and we're going to be testing more in the coming days. Now, I want to continue on this a little more. As you know, the we have five residents who have tested positive. That includes the two jazz players that were mentioned earlier. Three of those cases were confirmed by Utah laboratories. The other two were confirmed by labs in Oklahoma. Additionally, the Utah Public Health Lab has confirmed one positive result of a non-Utah resident who was in the state on vacation. This individual does not count per the CDC as a positive case towards our total count. However, local public health agencies are proceeding with their regular investigative process in this case. They will identify and interview close contacts, and the patients will be isolated and monitored by public health. And we'll talk more about that with the Jazz case momentarily. The Utah Public Laboratory has capacity to test up to 60 people per day now. Again, I already mentioned ARUP, and I just want to say, when fully scaled up, we will be able to test more than 1,000 individuals per day. It should be noted that drive-through testing is both underway and expanding. Utah's third case was identified after submitting a sample by a drive-through location. It's important to note that sampling is exactly the way it's supposed to happen. This person did it the right way. They used telehealth to message ahead. The doctor was able to talk to them about their history, was able to identify them as someone who was possibly who possibly had contacted the virus. They came, they were tested outside of the clinic, so they didn't expose any healthcare workers. The person then went home, the test was run, the test came back positive. That person is isolated right now, and only one other person was potentially exposed because of the quick action and the right action that was taken. That's what we want to happen. We know that Intermountain Healthcare will be conducting testing at two drive-up locations, one in Salt Lake and another at their Cottonwood Clinic, and those announcements will be forthcoming. The University of Utah also has three drive-up locations operating, and a fourth will be operational in a matter of days. We're working with our hospital association and others to look at the potential for mobile testing in places in rural.
Obviously, we are having a little bit of a problem with the audio quality of that feed. We are going to take a break and come back, hopefully reset this news conference. You're listening to a live news conference coming to you from the state capitol. The governor and a variety of state officials addressing what they believe that we as Utahns can do to minimize the spread of coronavirus. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
March means loan madness at Utah Community Credit Union.
Take advantage of seriously low interest rates on every kind of loan, like a home equity line of credit for a low six-month introductory rate of 1.99% APR and a low 4.75% variable APR thereafter.
And UCCU will pay up to $300 cash for your auto loan. So March means loan madness at UCCU no matter what. UCCU will pay cash for auto loans. They'll pay you a 1% balance transfer cash rebate up to $300. It's seriously easy. UCC will do this for more than one auto loan even. So bring all your auto loans to UCCU and they'll give you up to $300 on every single one. That's what we're talking about, loan madness.
By the way, during UCCU's loan madness sale, you can also get a home equity line of credit with an introductory rate of just 1.99% fixed APR for 6 months. After that, the rate will adjust to 4.75% variable APR.
You don't have to be a member to take advantage of loan madness at Utah Community Credit Union. You're going to love where you bank.
Guys, an important announcement from Universal Men's Clinic and Dr. Arakaki.
This is Dr. Arakaki. If you are suffering from ED or low T, we are making you this guarantee. We will improve the medical condition of your ED or low T, or we will give you your money back. For nearly a decade, we have had a high patient success rate and are confident that we can help you too.
If you would like to regain intimacy in your relationship or treat your low T symptoms like low energy, weight gain, and poor sleep, Universal Men's Clinic is here to help. We specialize in treating these common male issues using customized treatment programs for your individual needs. That's why we have such a high success rate, especially compared to online pills and supplements that often don't work. You can be confident in making Universal Men's Clinic your first option. We guarantee it. If we cannot medically improve your ED or low T, we will give you your money back. To learn more about our guarantee, call 801-263-7777. That's 801-263-7777 or visit universalguarantee.com.
Warmer weather is finally here, just in time for Motorsportsland's spring sales event going on now. We've been stocking up on new RVs all winter while manufacturers have their best deals. We made many RV purchases at prices we haven't seen in years. And now is your chance to save thousands on the RV of your dreams right now at Motorsportsland. Is this your year to start a new adventure? It's time to explore the wonders of nature right in our backyard and make memories your family will be talking about years from now. At Motorsportsland, we've been doing business the same upfront way for over 50 years. Come in now and enjoy a fun, low-pressure environment without paying thousands in extra fees like at those other dealers. Whether you're new to the RV lifestyle or you're a pro RVer, upgrade your adventure today and let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com, 4001 South State.
Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I volunteer with United Way to help the homeless in my community learn computer skills and build a basic resume. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
All in together now, we can make it better, can we do it? We'll open up,
because we know how to jump.
Moving and eating better every day can help make you and your kids healthier. Search We Can online to find out more. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
And we have now reestablished our contact with the governor's press conference happening at the state capitol, talking about ways that we can all minimize the coronavirus spread. And let's go back to the state capitol.
Providing service was mentioned, ARUP, the University of Utah's health sciences people, that the many people in the system who are contributing to the
this is
to the solution
Simmons
to this.
From the Board of Regents speaking.
We know that lessening the number of people who are congregating, reducing the size of crowds, is really, really critical. And so we're going to we'll turn the time over to first to President Ruth Watkins, and she has with her Dr. Michael Good, Senior Vice President for Health Sciences at the University of Utah, who are going to talk about some of the things that they're doing up at the University of Utah. President.
Thank you, Chair Simmons, and thank you, Governor and Lieutenant Governor, for remarkable leadership. We are taking several important steps at the University of Utah. All of these steps are designed to support our core value of promoting health and doing our part to reduce and slow the spread of the coronavirus. So I'll give you some high points about those key steps. Beginning next week, we are moving to online classes through the end of the semester. This is important timing for us. We are alerting students now because we are on spring break right now. We are also restricting large gatherings at university-sponsored events. We are restricting travel in our faculty and our staff. Those are a few of the steps, and the university is releasing a message with more detail and also posted through our website. I'm very grateful to the hardworking and creative staff, faculty, students, physicians, and care providers of the University of Utah who are implementing new approaches very quickly, recognizing that some of these changes are challenging. Again, our actions are guided by our values, supporting health and well-being in our students, our staff, and our faculty, and our broader community, and particularly doing our part to slow the spread of this virus. We're very fortunate to have the talented University of Utah health team helping lead Utah's response to this virus. I want to give special thanks to Dr. Good and his team of care providers, and particular recognition to the staff of ARUP, who are, as has been mentioned, now able to provide testing. We're very proud to live in a place that considers the greater good and care for its neighbors, particularly the members of our communities who are most vulnerable to this disease. We will continue to keep these values in mind as we respond and adapt in the days ahead. We appreciate everyone's partnership. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Mike Good. I'm the CEO of University of Utah Health. Each year, typically beginning in the fall, a seasonal flu affects all our communities here in Salt Lake City, indeed across the country and often the world. Seasonal flu, caused by a variety of viruses, comes on very slow over many weeks and months, peaks sometime during the winter, and then dissipates as we get through into spring. Think of that as a slow wave. Because of the great healthcare systems we have here, the height of that wave stays below the capacity of our health systems. We're able to take care of everyone. One of the reasons seasonal flu comes as a slow wave and doesn't get too tall are a variety of reasons, include many of us have had the flu last year, and we bring some immunity in our own system. Many of us get our flu vaccines, and that helps lessen. And we have medications, antiviral medications, that again help us combat seasonal flu and turn it into this slow and not too tall wave. Coronavirus is a new organism. We haven't seen it before. And so we do not have immunity in our individuals and in communities. The antiviral drugs that we have appear to have limited or no impact. And we have yet to develop a vaccine that helps lower this. And so communities that do not prepare get hit by a tsunami instead of the slow wave that we see with seasonal flu. We get a large spike and a massive increase in the number of cases. Again, think of that as a tsunami wave. And if that tsunami wave gets higher than the capacity of our health system, that's when we're unable to care for patients. And so what we're doing today, the measures that are being introduced, are to help slow down the tsunami, lower it, and turn it into the slow wave that, as a community, our health systems, University of Utah Health, Intermountain Healthcare, Stewart Healthcare, HCA, all of our health systems and our physicians and our healthcare providers working together, if we can keep the rate of this infection below the capacity of our health system, we're going to do fine. So these measures that are being introduced today are very important, particularly the concept of social distancing. So how do viruses, including coronavirus, spread from one person to the other? The principal route is through respiratory secretions. So an individual who has coronavirus coughs or sneezes, and they aerosolize respiratory secretions. And if someone else then comes in contact, say with their hand, and then they rub their mouth or their eye. Or if they're very close, and when someone sneezes, they inhale those respiratory secretions. That is how the virus moves from one individual to another individual. And so, as the scientific community worldwide and here in Salt Lake City works to develop vaccines and antiviral medications, the things we can do now, in addition to the hand washing, staying away, staying at home when you're sick, but now we need to socially distance from one another. And hence the guidelines that you're hearing introduced today, where large gatherings of people, frequent air travel, these are some of the environments where we are in close proximity with one another and risk transmitting the virus from one individual to another, particularly in that incubation period before we know or can diagnose through testing. So please, as we come together as a community, pay attention to distancing. Pay attention to the guidelines that are being recommended today to work together to make Salt Lake City and Utah for the world of how a community comes together and deals with a pathogen. Thank you.
Hello. President of Utah State University. SU is the land-grant institute of Utah.